This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big cube. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go. Taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go.
It's huge. It's huge. You know, with especially like a pitch like the changeup, right? You kind of get the barrel to slow down and the ball's going to be in play. It's awesome when those guys are, you know, I mean, they're just, it's great trust, right? Like that you go, man, these guys just make plays behind you. And it's something that just, you know, it's really cool. They're amazing back there. They get a ton of credit and they're, it's, you know, they're great. There's no other way to say it. It's really fun to play, you know, play with them behind you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the voice of Matthew Boyd. He had another victory yesterday. He's been doing well this season. But we're talking about the whole year and what happens. The Cubs are, I don't know that they're built to be a pennant-winning team. They need help in the bullpen for sure. Probably need one or two more starting pitchers, and they're short of field position players.
Well, I think that's fair. The bullpen is always going to need help if you're going to be serious about making a run at a pennant, and that's what we just said. That's the way you should view the 2025 Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
Pennant contenders.
Yep.
Pennant contenders. And the bullpen, okay, let's put that over in a category over here. You're always going to need bullpen help. Mason Miller is always going to be the guy we discuss about what you would give up to get. So the other two situations are just as pressing, if not more, right now because of Shota Imanaga's injury. He'll be out at least 2 weeks.
Yep.
We're saying, like, let's just say June 1st. That could be a conservative return time. And what do they do in the interim? Could it be Cade Horton? Possibly. Could it be just getting by with Chris Flexen and Colin Ray and everybody else? Probably. So the third basis situation, what do you do there? We heard Matthew Boyd talk about Nicky Lopez. Great play. Diving stop, right? Nicky Lopez, Mr. Glove, dependable glove. But when he went up to the plate with the bases loaded, you weren't thinking home run. The only person in the building thinking home run was Alex Cohen.
Was weird, man.
He gets carried away. He's filling in and he did a nice job. But I wasn't thinking home run. He's not a home run hitter. That's my point.
That's the point. But David, that exchange was distracting for me.
It was a little bit.
Because Alex Cohen is like, hey, man, like, wouldn't it be great if, like, everything worked out and the Cubs win the World Series?
And he had a grand slam.
Was like, yeah, I'm on board with that. But it was just weird.
Because it was unrealistic.
It was not.
But you want, I guess, to use that example, you want a third baseman to come up to the plate with the bases loaded who you might be thinking is going to go deep. You want your third baseman to be able to hit a home run.
Nicky is more of a displaced second baseman, isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, he's not really.
He is a utility infielder. That's a definition of a utility infielder. You think of him as a second baseman. He can also play shortstop.
Yes.
And, oh, by the way, in a pinch, put him at third. That's utility. That's useful.
That's exactly what he is. He's like a little dude, utility man who doesn't really hit. But as I said, when they put him in, the first time it's like, well, there's not going to be an error. He's not going to make an error. He's going to be able to handle that hot corner. That's not a problem now.
But you knew he wasn't going to hit a homer.
But that's not the answer.
Right. It's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
And
not
you know that now
answer.
36 games in.
Good guy to have on your roster.
Excellent guy.
Yeah.
Good pickup. Smart pickup. 36 games into this season, Mully, the Cubs have yet to get a home run from a third baseman. And it's the first time
I'd love to see him hit a grand slam. Like, what?
It's the first time. Thank you, Chris Kamka from Marquee Sports Network.
Yeah, he's great.
First time since 1978 where that's been the case. And Matt Shaw, he homered on March 29th, but that was as a pinch hitter. So when Craig Counsell has penciled in whoever at third base, none of those guys have homered for him for the Cubs this year. So that brings us to – they have a six-man rotation at third base. It's longer and deeper than their pitching rotation.
It's crazy.
You asked a question before the break, and it's a good one. It's a valid one. Don't you believe that Matt Shaw is their ultimate answer? Well, I think that you hope that's the answer. Matt Shaw is in 13 games at Triple-A Iowa, hitting .277 – on-base percentage of .424, OPS of .828. He has homered once. He hasn't shown the power that he had shown last year. It's okay. I think Jed Hoyer alluded to yesterday, they're watching every at-bat. I don't think it's screaming to say, bring me back. But I wonder what they're going to do there.
What did the hitting coach say? The assistant hitting coach came out publicly and said he's ready to come back.
Yeah, that puts a little pressure on the Cubs front office. I think when you look at the Matt Shaw situation and you look around the major leagues, there have been stories written about how that's not a deep position throughout the league in baseball any longer. It's not Justin Turner. I thought they would use him more than they have. Guess that's not going to be the case.
I'm going to say this and you're not going to like it.
Okay.
You could DFA him. If you need a roster spot, that's where you get it.
You're not going to DFA Justin Turner.
Why not?
Number one, you're paying him $5 million, $6 million.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
You're paying him $6 million.
He's a great guy to have around, and he tells a story and he loosens everyone up.
Well, you were right about one thing.
But he's not doing anything.
Man. I didn't like it. You said you're not going to like this.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't
like it. I'm not going to like it.
But if you're searching for a spot, that's a guy that, you know. You could bring you got these problems.
He's not the guy that would be at the top of my list of DFAing if you're bringing somebody up.
Okay, like he's right now, he's gone into this mode where I'll sit there and watch the game and like they'll show a shot and there he'll be and I'm like, oh, that guy's still on the team. You could DFA him. That's just the way I'm looking at him, and I know that's mean.
So,
but I swear to God, it goes through my head every time I see him.
You look at him, and a couple years ago, they had a similar guy, Trey Mancini. Remember Trey Mancini?
Yes.
Good guy to have in the clubhouse. Yes. Not so good at the plate.
Right. What did they do with Trey Mancini?
Do you think right now, May 6th, do you think that in September 6th that Justin Turner will be in a Cub uniform?
I don't believe that. Do you?
I want to believe it.
You do?
I want to believe it. Yeah, I like Justin Turner.
I don't dislike him.
Hey, he had a hit the other day.
I know he married a girl from Indiana. That's I know we love him. I get
that's
it.
That's my standard. That's my standard. He had a base hit, though, the other day with two outs. So I think, yeah, I know what you're saying, though. The big picture question is what would you do if you have to make a move? And bring in a third baseman like Matt Shaw, what's your corresponding roster move?
Yes.
Because Nicky Lopez, I think, is probably worth keeping because of his defense. Eh? No?
Honestly.
Birdie?
Lopez?
Brujan?
I think I watched him play last year, and it was the worst. It was the worst season any team's ever had. But I felt like he was kind of a late-hitting second baseman. I felt like... That's a guy.
He's lasted this long, though, because of his defense and because of his savvy because he's got some moxie. The word moxie.
Moxie's a great word.
Moxie's the word to describe him.
I'm not saying he has no value. I'm just saying, you know, he will stop the bleeding. He can stop the problem, but he isn't the answer. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not being mean to him. No, you're not. But
I really like the guy. Genuinely,
he's a likable guy. He's a local guy, as we know from Naperville. Can you imagine the feeling he must have had last night? Was his first start at Wrigley Field? Electric atmosphere. You're playing the Giants. He spent last year I'm sorry, but no, it had to be such a contrast. He spent last year with the Sox going through
toiling in obscurity.
Yeah, and he endured the worst season in Major League history.
No question.
And he comes here, he's picked up by the Cubs, and his first start is that atmosphere, and he makes a big play. Listen, and he has a big at-bat. Him walking with the bases loaded was a quality at-bat.
He signed with the Cubs. They cut him. He left the Cubs. He played for the Angels, was it?
Yeah.
They cut him, and the Cubs picked him up off the scrap heap, and he stopped the bleeding at third base. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying, I mean, maybe that's a darker story, but that's the story.
But that's
it's not some fairy tale.
I didn't say it was
you
a fairy
kind
tale.
Kind of implied that.
I was looking at it this way. You're looking at it the way you described very well. I'm looking at it as... He must feel like he won the lottery and not the NHL draft lottery.
No.
Because he'd still be wondering what the heck happened if that were the case.
No one can figure that out.
No one can figure that one out. But Nicky Lopez has to feel like he won the baseball lottery.
Did the nine to come up? What happened? How did they run out of balls?
Memo to Gary Bettman, bad idea.
That was so confused. Oh my God.
We're going to go to a commercial. Who's going to be third?
Honest to God. That was the. I said to my wife, she was sitting there, and she kind of could care less. But I'm watching it, and then she's like, "What are they doing? Like what?" She like the total obscurity caught her up in it. The unbelievable confusion ended up kind of becoming interesting. You know what I mean? Like she started watching it.
You watched
because
it
you
because
couldn't figure it out.
You were waiting for them to interpret it.
And I said
and
to
it
her,
never happened.
I said, well, the Hawks are going to pick in the top four. They're guaranteed that. And she's like, well, how can they guarantee that? And I'm like, I don't know.
It's hard to explain. Long story.
And then they literally left the third pick empty.
Yeah.
And then they went to break. And I'm like, well, they're picking third. It's okay. They got the third pick. And she's like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know. I just know it.
I just know.
And then they come
you
back.
I just know.
And they got all the teams
lined
up.
Well, you look pretty smart to her.
They didn't. No, she was more confused than I was. And I was watching it with knowledge and still couldn't figure out what the hell they were doing.
It was very confusing. Okay, back to baseball.
Anybody. They didn't actually talk to anybody.
Back to baseball and the Cubs. So the third base conundrum. I think this, it's somewhat unrealistic to think,
or
you tell me if I'm wrong,
internally.
That they're going to, no, I think it's unrealistic to expect the Cubs to go out and to trade for a third baseman.
No, they're not going to do that.
That's going to be an impactful guy.
No, they're not going to do it again.
And trade for a starter. That's going to be an impactful starter.
Yeah, that is
it's going to be one or the other, I think.
Yeah, well, I think their priority should be bullpen. It will be starting pitching. And I think the third baseman they feel is an internal solve.
Why do you believe that the priority should be bullpen over starting pitching when you've lost two of your top starters? I know Shota is coming back so far, and Justin Steele is not.
I think they're doing a good enough job of eating innings, and the offense has played so well that when you finally get to the playoffs, that you're going to have to improve your bullpen is not built to win a pennant. You're talking about winning a pennant. That's how this conversation started.
You need a power arm back there.
You need somebody.
Need somebody who has high velocity, brings the heat, and no disrespect to Ryan Pressly, but that's not him at this stage of his career.
No, you need somebody that either can throw the ball past people, or you need somebody that has a pitch that just can't be hit.
Mm-hmm.
There are examples of guys like that through baseball, and that's kind of what you need. You don't have it. So we're sitting here, and their offense isn't a problem. In fact, it might be improving because of Dansby Swanson getting out of it. I mean, he's...
Can I add something I need to check myself on this?
Okay.
Because I mentioned, and this will be a constant refrain, I think, from Cub fans as we get near the deadline, as we get into June. But people will want Mason Miller from the A's.
Sure.
And I think he's going to be the top reliever that people will fantasize about. The A's are 20-16.
That's hard to believe.
They're a game back of the Mariners in the AL West. I don't think they're trading a guy who they have that kind of contract control when they're in the midst of a divisional race like that.
Now, we're not allowed yet to look at the standings.
No, I'm looking at the standings. That bothers me when people say that.
No, we're not allowed.
The standings exist for a reason.
No, they don't. Not till Memorial Day.
They give you a guide. If they didn't matter, why would they keep track?
Why would they print them? At Memorial Day, we look at them, and then we decide whether you're going to trade.
Okay, you wait till Memorial Day. I'm going to tell you reality on May 6th, all right? You can wait till 3 weeks.
I'm going to tell you the way it is now
because they exist for a reason. The standings tell me the A's are not likely to be trading Mason Miller because they are worried about saving their own games and staying in their own race.
You know, when you are the Sacramento A's on the way to Vegas, just left Oakland, I'm not on that bandwagon.
Well, but you can't just wish cast Mason Miller onto the trade market because you think he'd fit well in the Cubs bullpen.
But I don't think I said Mason Miller. I said they need to make a move and they need to get somebody that can close a game for them. That's what I said.
Okay. I know I'm directing it at you.
I know.
But I think in general terms, we hear that name a lot because he is definitely.
But you were the one who brought it up.
I know. Well, I'm bringing it up because I anticipate these kind of conversations.
No, it's fair.
Mason Miller is somebody we have talked about in the past.
They should have already traded for him.
So far, none of these things have really gotten in the way of the Cubs getting off to the kind of start that makes you feel like this could be a special season. They're 22-14 in spite of maybe being an arm short of the bullpen, in spite of the injuries to their starting rotation, and in spite of having six men trying to play third base.
They finished fourth for Bregman. Is that right? They were fourth or were they third?
I think probably third.
They might have been fourth.
Tigers, Red Sox, Cubs, right? Was there a fourth team involved? I don't believe that there was a fourth team.
Whatever.
The mystery team? Okay, no, John Heyman.
Honestly, I don't think it was a mystery
team.
But all I'm saying is if you weren't willing to cough up and pay for him, and then you went through what you went through with Matt Shaw, you just realized, oh, this isn't, he's not ready to solve it. Can he still be the guy at the end of the year that could come up and that can be that guy?
I like Matt Shaw, so I'm going to answer in a way that is probably more positive than some people might be. I do think Matt Shaw, nothing that's happened to Matt Shaw has convince me that he still can't be a quality everyday third baseman with the Cubs, because I'm looking at their previous examples with developmental prospects and guys who had to take a step backward, had to go back to the minors, and then when they came back to the majors, they were better for the experience, better for the struggle. And I think Matt Shaw will be. PCA is a great example of that. When Pete Crow Armstrong went down to Iowa after his major league debut, you thought, well, that was overhyped. Oh, that was silly to hope that he was going to be the player that we thought he was going to be.
What year did you predict that he'd be the best player in Chicago by 2028? That was a couple of years ago. That's around that time.
But he struggled and then he succeeded. And sometimes, as Theo Epstein once said, as Jed Hoyer has parroted, as every executive wants to believe, you know, development isn't linear.
Yes.
Nothing about their progress has to be.
Yep.
And they're going to be setbacks. Matt Shaw is experiencing one right now. And my guess is, and I don't know this for sure, but he probably has never struggled to this extent before.
I guarantee you he is not. Because he has hit at every level. You know how you know that? Because you look at his wacky swing and you think, holy God, like, why wasn't that correct?
Nobody ever changed it because they never thought they...
Because he didn't need to. He didn't need to change it.
That's why I believe he will be a factor in this season. And I think the Cubs do too, before all is said and done. So my sense is that if they go out during the deadline or they go out before, you know, the next month or so when the trades start to happen, I don't know that they're going to get a third baseman. I don't know if one exists out there that is just...
Yeah, I agree with
you. It's not going to be Nolan Arenado. I don't think the Cardinals would trade him to the Cubs.
They're also hitting well enough to cover.
That's good. That's true for several positions. Yeah. That's true, frankly, for the weaknesses that we're obsessing about.
You're right.
Because this is a part of our role. Everyone plays one. they have weaknesses, but they're strong enough offensively to mask them right now.
A man with no weakness is Bruce Levine. He's just a very powerful and lovely person. And we'll talk to him next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Love talking to Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Bruce, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Happy Kerry Woods strikeout day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how
it's the anniversary
that?
Yeah.
How is
27
wild.
Years ago?
Way back in 1998, drizzly day at Wrigley Field. Kerry Wood was 20, and he struck out 20.
That was a call your sons, call your daughters kind of moment.
Everyone you know.
Yeah, it was incredible.
2020.
Yeah, I was in the studio with Mitch and Dave Wills, rest in peace, and Dave Jude, and we were working on Bulls playoffs, and around the fifth inning, Mitch walks in and goes, a lot of strikeouts. I said, I'm on my way. So
Mitch knew.
Yeah.
He's got that sixth sense. I just remember Kerry Wood post game, the interview, his hand shaking. His hand on WGN TV, his hand was shaking. He was so nervous, trembling with just maybe he was that amped up and didn't realize just exactly what he had done.
I don't want to get into it too much, but career highlight, right? I mean, you know, poor Kerry Wood. When you look back on what he did and what happened, obviously they had one great run in the playoffs with Dusty, but you know that performance fueled a fascination with that player from the organization and from the fan base that still exists to this day.
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying, Mully. You know that in his first year, if that was the highlight. Kerry didn't match everything that everybody always wanted. He was still an outstanding pitcher,
right.
But many people believe that was the best pitch ball game of all time.
Yeah.
You know, just the ground ball to that Gutierrez hit to Ori.
Kevin Ori.
Yeah, that's your favorite player, Dave.
That's a name that keeps coming up, Kevin Ori, the third baseman that wasn't.
They could have ruled it an error, but they didn't. It was a little base hit, but you're talking about one of the more dominant lineups in baseball at that time, led by Biggio and Bagwell. So, yeah, it was a phenomenal day.
All right, Bruce, back to the present. Yesterday, you were at Wrigley. You heard Jed Hoyer talk about the absence of Shota Imanaga. You heard Craig Counsell express optimism that the hamstring strain would only be a couple weeks. And it sounded more positive than maybe you would have expected. How did
maybe
you?
Maybe more than a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So he said. So what he actually said was, we think maybe you know a few weeks, but we're going to be a little bit more cautious than that. So
right.
I would say three if everything goes right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's you know I mean an extra week. You know how many starts is that? 21 days divided
three.
By five. You know, five or six starts. You know, you're probably missing that.
Well,
that's a lot.
I thought it was like three or four.
Well, it depends on off days. You know, there's a few.
Yeah, five or six.
But, you know, I would say five.
So
you know.
When are you bringing up Horton? Does he start in New York? Does he start at the Mets or do you wait a week?
So let's discuss this because, you know, it's a great topic that will be talked about all week long until they make their decision either on Thursday or Friday, off day Thursday. They do not need a starting pitcher, according to Craig Counsell, till Saturday in that spot, okay? That's when they – now, Horton pitched Sunday. So that's going to be enough rest for him, five, 6 days, you know, tops. And on top of that, the questions are two. You brought up one of them already. Do you want to start – your prized young pitcher hasn't pitched in big leagues, only 34 innings last year. in New York against a very good Mets team, or do you soft roll it a little bit and you pick out another opponent down the line? That's one way to look at it. Okay. Your thoughts on that part of it?
Well, I think that he's a 23-year-old professional. He has been in – he's a first-round draft pick. Whether he starts in New York or I think at Wrigley Field shouldn't matter. If he's ready, he's ready.
At home against the White Sox maybe? Would that be a nice spot for a guy?
It would be a nice spot for any pitcher.
That's but what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with you both that the idea if you're ready, you are ready. Okay, there's no easy major league team. I don't care who it is. You can't predict an outcome. You can't predict what the young pitcher is going to do that day, how nerves are going to impact him, regardless of whether it's at Wrigley Field right. or City Field in New York. Again, you know, the crowd, you know, the Mets are one of the best teams in baseball right now.
What's best for the Cubs, Bruce? What's best for the Cubs? That's the decision you need to make.
All right, I'll give you the other part of it, and then I'll give you my answer on that. The other part of it is he's only built up to 75
right.
pitches.
Right.
Okay? And that is internally a consideration for the Cubs. That's what I've been told. The idea that, okay, 75 pitches can go really fast for a young pitcher, okay? If he's not hitting the strike zone, 75 pitches can disappear on you
right.
in 3 to 4 innings. Then you have to have a second pitcher ready. In this case, you know, do you hold back Flexen and make right. him your piggyback option to this? And then there's two pitchers that you're using that day. So is that the way that you want to go? And I think that's what's being discussed right now. Again, stuff-wise, you know, being able to dominate at AAA like you always hear from general managers or presidents of baseball organizations, he's done that. The last three, he's walked only three guys. He struck out 15. You know, he got to 6 innings last time in 75. Very efficient. So he's checking a lot of boxes. The question is this the time now?
Flexen was better than him at Iowa. Flexen was the best pitcher on that staff. They bring him up. He's kind of stretched out already. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to eat innings with the guy and then let the kid start in a more comfortable situation. I mean, because you know what, David? You say it's about the Cubs, but this is their best young pitcher that they're bringing up. They shouldn't bring him up over need.
Well, I understand that.
They should bring him up over
It's a valid point, Mully, and it is a good discussion, Bruce. You're right. I also think that if you're going to use your best pitcher and you're going to look at every pitch he throws as being impactful, why not have those pitches used at the major league level where there is a need in the Cubs rotation? You mentioned 75 pitches. You know, Ben Brown started 8 games. He's averaging about 70 pitches per game. 75 pitches is a representative start in today's day and age,
yeah.
Bruce.
What kind of shape are you looking at on that? You know, so the shape of 70 to 75 is different from Ben Brown starts from start to start, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they are.
You know, two of them are 6. A couple of them are one's 3 2/3. One's 2 or 4.
That number doesn't sound prohibitive to me, though, because it doesn't sound like it's something that
75 is satisfied.
In today's Major League Baseball,
you will be happy.
Yeah,
that's a good start.
Because 75 pitches are going to give you 4 or 5 innings of really probably lights out starting pitching, which is what you're looking for.
I mean, a guy that the opponent has never seen. You know, we see that all the time with people capable of, you know, young pitchers you haven't seen. They beat you. Like you can be on fire and run into some guy you never heard of and no one has a scouting report and everyone's confused.
I think you're going to go into this. If you decide to go this way, you're going to have to say any human being, no matter how good they are going to be nervous this side of Paul Skeens, right, in the first start. So there's going to be some walks involved, okay? There's going to be some visits from our friend Tommy Hotovy, right? you know, you have to project. You don't project negativity and failure. You project reality of a young pitcher making his first start. So, you know, you can slice and dice this any way that you want
sure.
to. I'm with you. I'm with you on the beginning of this, and that is, if you feel he's ready, he only has so many bullets in his arm this year
yeah.
because of the fact he threw 34. Why not make them at the major league level starting on Saturday?
That would be my argument, and that our saying argument is too strong. That would be the point that I would want to make. I think yep. it's a good discussion, though. Bruce, regardless of what we feel, regardless of the good arguments on both sides of the equation, what do you think the Cubs are going to do? And what did you hear yesterday to lead you to that conclusion?
I just think they're still up in the air on it. They have time to decide. Council was really
crazy.
Terse with me about a question I threw at him that was just a statement rather than a question. Then he said, "Do you have a question here?" and then I said, "Yeah." I said, "What's going to prohibit you from calling him up, knowing that he's dominating there at the minor leagues?" And he said, "You know that." Both he and Hoyer used the term, it's a consideration.
Yeah.
And they cut it short after that, meaning there hasn't been a decision. There is no decision right now. But we do know what the options are at this point. And it's Flexen or it's or the kid. So.
That kind of reaction makes me wonder if they're in disagreement over what was the best thing to do. Or makes you wonder if they're on the same page.
I hope they are.
Yes.
I hope they are, because there's no clear-cut right answer
right.
here, I don't think.
You want them to discuss it, to talk
yeah.
over all the mm-hmm. possibility. I think you're right. I think it's a good thing. But which way are they leaning? I was just saying, like, they've got it. Like, I thought I heard the general manager more cautious than the manager. So it sounded like Jed was kind of like, well, we got to wait until we're ready. Like, would love to have him at a perfect spot for him. And it sounded like, you know, Craig Counsell was like, hey, we need a pitcher for Saturday. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't think it's an argument. I think it's a discussion among good baseball people in this organization who have been making really good decisions as of late, you know, since the end of last year together.
Yes.
Right? We saw that togetherness happen when Council, you know, threw down the gauntlet and, you know, talked about we have to be thinking about 90 wins or more here. We heard that last August. But the reality of the situation right now is Council, like every manager, and especially managers with good teams like he has right now, they're greedy about wanting to win every single game. And this is just another one of them that he feels is right. He's concerned about the young players' development as well, maybe not in the same way that the front office is. So that's where your discussion comes in. Good, educated thoughts, honesty with each other. You know, that's what makes good decisions in good organizations.
And they're optimistic about Shota, real quick?
They are, but, you know, he's never had an injury, okay,
right.
to his lower body. You know, they said it's a mild strain, maybe a grade one. That's still, you know, 2 to 3 weeks for anybody. No pitcher comes back in 10 days from a,
yeah.
from a hamstring. Nobody. So, and with this guy, as Council said, you're going to be even more cautious because any type of renewed injury. Remember, he had the quads, you know, before this, the start before this, where he was cramping in the quads. So, you know, does he need extensive leg work on building up both areas before they put him out there? I think maybe that's what the other week is going to be for.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Bruce.
Guys, have a great day.
You
that
too.
Is our man, Bruce Levine. That's good stuff. And I like the conversation because it's fun to just talk about the different elements of it, and then they're going to make a decision.
Well, it is an organizational decision, but it also you have to balance in the future with the present, because
yeah.
if this is a 90-win team,
yes.
as Craig Counsell has described they need to be, every game does matter.
You can't throw away a start in New York because Juan Soto's there.
No.
You got to beat him.
No, that's got to be the mentality.
Yeah, I agree with you. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
The hesitancy is a no. I would say, you know, just trying to make sure it's the right time. I think that it's easier to work on things in the minors and sort of. And you know, he didn't pitch a lot last year. I think he pitched all last season. You know, he may well have debuted by now, but if he hadn't debuted, I think that we would, you know, you have a better sense of where he is. Whereas, like, you know, because he missed a lot of time last year, I think that it's been good to give him a foundation in Iowa. I'd say that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That, of course, Jed Hoyer talking about the aforementioned Cade Horton. Interesting the way that he refers to it. Because there is no background, because he's been unable to get to the major leagues due to injury as much as anything else, now you're kind of hesitant about, you want to make sure
you're deliberate
and run it. Yes.
You're very deliberate because he is your top prospect.
He's your top guy.
I understand
think he
that.
Will, you think he is going to have a contribution this year. You don't know for how long.
You're pretty certain of that if yes. You're Jed Hoyer. And I think they went into the season consistent with that expectation. I think this is earlier than maybe they expected to have to call him up, but that's what the tone of the conversations are this week. And I don't think they have come to a conclusion. That explains the couching every comment yesterday with, well, we don't know, we haven't decided, it could be this, he hasn't done that. And so there is a lot of uncertainty.
Yes.
They're waiting to see how things unfold. And the one thing I think is hard to do from our standpoint and maybe from a fan perspective is that when it comes to making these kind of pitching decisions with this rotation, this Cub season, this regime has earned your trust. I mean, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. Look at the three guys who are succeeding to the point where they're in a position to count on. The Cubs are counting on them, and they're making this decision with Cade Horton even more difficult than maybe it needs to be. Matthew Boyd has been excellent. He was signed in December, 2 years, $29 million, under-the-radar signing, right? Injury problems. He's been excellent. Colin Ray, maybe their most valuable pitcher, signed January 13th, 1 year, $5 million guarantee. That's a pittance by today's standards in starting pitching. Chris Flexen was signed to a minor league contract on February 18th.
Yep.
Those are the three guys that give the Cubs the luxury of being patient and conservative when it comes to what to do with Cade Horton. So if they want to take their time, I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt. They can take their time. I'd call him up. I'd have him in the rotation Saturday against the Mets in New York. And I'd say, okay, kid, here you go. And I think he'd be ready for that. And maybe he will be.
I think that the Mets won't be ready for it. You know, he's going to come up and he's going to, you know, he'll surprise
them. That might be the best way to get Pete Alonso out.
Well, there you go. But my how do I put this? I don't want to say, I'm also thinking, what is the best position for the kid? Would it be better to give him another start in Iowa and then bring him up at Wrigley Field against an opponent that he can dominate? Like, do you care about setting him up for success, or are you just trying to fill a hole in the rotation?
I think that you're doing both if you call him up.
Okay.
If you call him up, then I don't know that he's going to be on a shuttle back and forth to Iowa.
No, I think you call him up and he's going to pitch for a while.
You want to see him build off each start. You want to see him gradually progress to the point where he can say, well, I'll get better in 5 days. I'll do this better next time out. I don't think you want him looking over his shoulder, checking, you know, Twitter to find out what's going on or wondering where he stands. So I think if you bring him up, you ideally bring him up for the duration. And 75 pitches per start doesn't scare me by today's major league standards for starters. I know Bruce said that, but that's 75. Yeah. If you got 75 pitches out of Cade Horton, bring him up.
You could get 35 pitches in one inning, David. We know that. We've seen that happen. And maybe not give up a ton of runs or anything.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know.
You're going to be cautious. You're going to be conservative. You're going to be careful.
Yeah.
But you also are in a situation that calls for a little bit of a different type of risk-taking approach. And you might be in a position where, again, if you're holding yourself to a standard of this is a 90-win season, this is a 90-win roster, Craig Counsell told us that.
Then who's more likely to win, the kid or a guy like Flexen?
I think the kid, because Flexen and Ray and the guys that you brought here to provide depth have done that.
Ray is, in my opinion, a starting pitcher now. He's part of the rotation.
Okay, but... but you
he'll
still are one guy short.
Just him. I totally
and
agree
and with when him. And when and if this is a perfect scenario, not perfect scenario. This is a best case scenario. Cade Horton comes up. He pitches well enough to stay. Shota comes back. He goes back to the rotation. Colin Ray is your swing guy. You're going to need guys who are going to eat innings, and you have Colin Ray and Chris Flexen essentially as a flexibility. And Cade Horton stays in the rotation with Ben Brown and gives you a real dependable starting rotation. I don't know that that's going to happen because I am with you in terms of it didn't sound like Jed Hoyer was positioning himself for that decision.
All right. 312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.